There's a court case which has been in the news quite a lot just recently, but not so much a court case as an inquest. And it all resulted from a police action in the fight against terrorism. Now, following a police investigation into anticipated terrorist attacks on the United Kingdom, the Metropolitan Police developed a strategy which was to shoot first and to shoot to kill. As can be expected, the result was fatal, and in one high-profile case, seriously flawed. It was on the 22nd of July 2005 that a 27-year-old Brazilian was mistakenly shot dead by police officers of the Metropolitan Police. Now, on that day, the police were searching for four terrorists who they suspected had attempted to carry out a coordinated but unsuccessful suicide attack on the London Underground system on the previous day. Now, these men were believed to be living in the same block of flats as Mr. Domenez's. Police officers conducting the surveillance of those flats mistook John Charles Domenez's for one of their suspects, and they followed him from that block of flats through London to the underground station at Stockwell, where John Charles Domenez's was shot at close range whilst he was actually on an underground train. At the inquest on Mr. Domenez's, the jury was barred from delivering an unlawful killing verdict. This was very much to the chagrin of the Domenez's family and also to their lawyer. The inquest was described as a whitewash for police brutality. And later, Mr. Domenez's mother was interviewed by television reporters, in which she said that the police had killed her son and she would never forgive them. Many, I suppose, would say that this is an entirely natural human response to this particular situation. My question for you today, for us all today, is this. Should any one of us ever use these words, even in these circumstances? Today, in the time available, I would like to try to answer this particular question, because our response to this type of question will determine whether or not we are eventually to be in God's kingdom. We have to bear in mind the tremendous stresses and strains that the Domenez's family have experienced. We must also recognise that the police have an unenviable job in trying to protect the public in these days of suicide terrorist attacks. So where do we go for our answer? First and foremost, we need to realise that whoever we are, we have all injured other people by words, actions, and by attitudes. Our thoughts are a key factor in our relationships with other people. The book of Proverbs, in the book of Proverbs, we find a statement, the truth of which has been shown for centuries and has been demonstrated time and time again. And we will turn to Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, where we see that the truth of this particular statement is borne out. Our body language, our facial expressions, our attitudes all express our feelings, and sometimes they speak louder than our words do. Whatever our emotional state may be, it will have the uncomfortable habit of being only too obvious to others. Sometimes we show them even when we ourselves are not aware of any emotional feelings. So in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, we read the following words. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, says he to you, but his heart is not with you. Mrs. Domenez's may feel that she has every right to be critical of the British police. The police are condemned if they do, and they are also condemned if they don't. It is part of the injustices of the times in which we live. But does Mrs. de Menezes have the right to say that the police killed my son and I will never forgive them? For what it is worth, Sir Ian Blair, the Metropolitan Police Chief Commissioner, has apologised to the family for the terrible occurrences of that day. In addition, the family has been paid something in the region of £500,000 compensation. Now, I know that money and apologies will not bring John Charles de Menezes back, and no amount of money can make up for what has been lost. But the British Post has done something to try to alleviate the situation that has arisen. Even so, I will never forgive them. Maybe understandable, but is it acceptable? The de Menezes family have lost a son, a brother, a cousin in Jean Charles, and we cannot underestimate the grief that this has brought them. I would like you to turn with me now, please, to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12. In this passage we read part of what is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. Here the plea is that we should be forgiven, but there is a rider that makes a whole world of difference. Here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12 we read the following. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then just dropping down a couple of verses, we find out why we say as we are forgiven, as we forgive them. So it says here in verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. A Christian does not have the luxury of bearing grudges. As can be seen from this passage, forgiveness is not an option. It is a definite requirement. I will never forgive them, no matter what the circumstances, is therefore unacceptable. Even while Christ himself was being murdered, his request was to our Father in heaven to forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. I'm sure that the police at Stockwell Underground Station were quite unaware that their target was actually not a potential suicide terrorist. They did not know what they were doing. This does not excuse what has happened, but in the heat of war, sometimes even civilized people behave without any form of restraint. As the saying goes, the way to hell is paved with good intentions. We have to remember that we have all been bought with a price. The price is beyond measure. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, we find one of the most often quoted verses in the whole of the Bible, often used in the wrong context, but one that was at one time known by almost everyone in these islands. Sadly, this is no longer the case. These words, however, remain true and unalterable. In John chapter 3 and beginning in verse 16, we read the following. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son unto the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For us there is no crime against us or our loved ones, our friends and relations, that cannot be forgiven. If we are to be forgiven, we are required to forgive others. We have also to remember that Jesus Christ said that there is only one sin that is unforgivable, and that is blasphemy against God's Holy Spirit. Everything else, killing of a son by police as a result of poor intelligence, simply because he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, will, on repentance, be forgiven. The statement, I will never forgive them, is therefore unacceptable. This is an emotional response that should never pass our lips. In saying this, I'm not condemning Mrs. de Menezes or any of her family or the legal team, because one day Mrs. de Menezes will also repent of uttering these words. As I've already said, for us now, these words, "I will never forgive them," should never pass our lips. It is not negotiable. It is not optional. It is a requirement. If we are to be forgiven, we must forgive and never say, "I will never forgive them."